How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Now, if you're too cheap or too stupid or too blind or too ignorant to spend $9.99 on the WWE Network, let me tell you what happened last night. My client, Brock Lesnar, imposed his will on John Cena. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what they call basic Brockonomics. Eat, sleep, suplex, repeat. 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 Brock Lesnar lives by the motto, eat, sleep, suplex, repeat. Eat, sleep, F5, repeat. Eat, sleep, victimize, repeat. Eat, sleep, beat, repeat. Eat, sleep, conquer, John Cena.
Oh, this is the part where I put my hat back on. The slogan's a little too long for a t-shirt, but I'm hoping they'll make socks. But I'm not here just to make jokes. I'm here to make a little bit of news. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and who do I have around the table? Let's see. I may say North American, but I think we're all I've got all the Nor'easters here. Let's start with Jim Williams.
Pleasure to be here, and I'm telling you, I was tempted with the open to go somewhere Carl would have appreciated. Actually, you would have as well. There's a famous meme on True Capitalist Radio, money, success, fame,
bronies.
I was going to do that set to the eat, sleep, suplex, repeat, but I didn't have time to. So, yeah.
Of course you didn't.
Because I was in a fantasy football draft, and I was throwing the pigskin around, Michael.
And every single fantasy team was named after punnies.
No, not this league. No.
Well, I know somebody whose fantasy football league has a pony theme. That would be VRM.
Yes. And Jim has to deal with three of us yet again in the Red Conference.
Oh, stop the pain.
Well, me, Joe Van Ginkle, and Josh is the other one?
Stat Boy. Yeah,
they all repeated. Hint, hint.
Yeah, eat, sleep, repeat, pony name, repeat.
And let's see. Eat, sleep, New York City, repeat. That'd be Jason Block.
honestly, did anyone legitimately expect to see the beatdown that John Cena got on Sunday? No one saw it coming. We wanted it to happen, but we didn't think it would happen, did we?
Well, it looks like it was pretty balanced. I've got the spreadsheet in front of me for SummerSlam, and a few of you actually thought that since Super Cena had invoked the Hulk Hogan colors, that he would be double invulnerable.
But see, he invoked them 6 days too early.
Admitted. And you're right. The main event was a oversized, glorious butter-filled serving of squash. And it was enjoyable.
But there's only one thing was missing from that match.
And that was?
German suplex to the German announce table.
Admitted. And to that I would say, I think the Germans won their announce table when they won the World Cup and kicked the Spanish announcers out. Thank you.
Why did they need four announcers at the table is what I'm wondering.
I don't know. But the only minor quibble I had with the main event match was the suplexes were only German. If Brock Lesnar is this MMA guy who, you know, he could do more suplexes than that.
And it's, yeah, I expect a Taz style match where he'll do 10 different types of suplexes.
Right.
I think he did a belly to belly once.
And the rest of them were Germans, which I was okay with, and a little unnerved when he did a triple German. And, yeah, I thought of something else. Anyway. So, we had that. We had the most arena coverage ever in a lumberjack match.
Holy cow! Oh, my God!
That is IPW, CZW kind of crap that I would expect it there.
Jesus!
I'm serious. The fact that Rollins and Ambrose got away from the lumberjacks, went into the stands, and then half the wrestlers had to go chasing after them because Kane finally came down and said, I thought this was a lumberjack match, not a Falls Count Anywhere match. Go get them!
Yeah. And they're like, do we have to?
Seriously, Rob was at the guard wall going, dude, come back.
Dude, chill. It's 4:20. Come on.
Good. Dude, just finish the match. Come back.
Yeah. A lot of arena coverage, and Zack Ryder still couldn't get a paycheck. Aww.
Arch got to be a lumberjack before Zack Ryder.
Are you serious, bro? Yeah.
Damian Sandow didn't even get to explain his shtick, and he got to be a lumberjack.
Yes.
One wonders if he had suspendies and a bra on.
I did notice the outfit. I thought I was trying to figure out what he was doing, and you're right. He already had the beard, so he didn't need the rest of the costume.
Oh my God, now I get it. Oh, it hit me now. No way. Okay, got it.
Points.
Points, yes.
It's Mr. Sandow, points.
Yes, points.
If I'm going to take anything from the Jericho-Wyatt match, Jericho still does epic entrance better than anybody I know.
I will also take to the fact that somebody needs to use some scotch tape and tape the battery pack to the lining of the jacket.
I saw it too.
Yes.
What was that? A little bit of a botch? I didn't notice.
Oh yeah, the battery pack.
Jericho's walking down the ramp and he's sitting there flickering the coat, and you can see the white USB cable sticking out inside the jacket.
Yeah.
Glorious face palm.
Yes. Now you're saying he changed his entrance? I didn't get what he did.
Well, first of all, he brought the countdown back, which I was is integral to his entrance.
Vintage Jericho.
The fireworks were the same. The, you know, the video and all that was the same. The lights go out. He had a brand new jacket.
Brand new light bright, yes.
Yes, a brand new light bright jacket with flexible colors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was showing that off. But as he was walking down the ramp, if you look to lower camera right, and Jericho's going to call me out on this. If you look to lower camera right, you can see this little white cable.
And a little pack that was dangling from the bottom of his jacket.
And I found that very amusing. Indeed. And thank you for reminding me of that.
You're quite welcome.
We had a couple title changes.
Yes, we did.
By God, Dolph Ziggler won a belt.
What's that?
I mean, I saw the last time he won. I was there when he won the last one.
Yeah. And you're still waiting for the damn slammy.
Yes, and I'm still waiting for it, yes. But,
seriously. But did you hear what that crowd did when Ziggler pinned Miz? That place exploded. The crowd was like, holy shit, he won.
Mm-hmm.
And if you heard him on Monday when he came back, he said, you guys did this. Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you guys did this. And I'm hoping that this is a stepping stone back to, you know, I mean, eventually, I think Ziggler's going to hold the belt until Barrett comes back. And can you imagine the Ziggler-Barrett matches? Hello?
Shut up and take my money.
Right. Thank you. Right.
Actually, no. I'll do this right. Shut up and take my $9.99.
Yes.
Paige got her belt back from AJ. That was a little bit. I see that was a huge surprise.
Mm-hmm. There are the rumors starting about where AJ's place in the company is right now. Mm-hmm. So.
I don't think that's it right now. I just think it's a sort of a back and forth thing.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I mean, if we suddenly see AJ disappear. You know, but right now I'm going with the AJ's trying to out Crazy Paige and let's have some fun in a series of matches. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing. I mean, we have the good news is that WWE hasn't done any real belt juggling in a while. So if these two sit there and trade the belt for the next 4 or 5 months, I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to go around the table real quick. VRM, I need to get your opinion on the Orton-Reigns match. I'm going to be extremely biased. I thought it was a good match, but I didn't think it was a spectacular match. Berm?
I believe he's in BRB mode.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Jim, let's hear your thoughts.
I think your analysis is pretty spot on. It was a good match. It didn't set up... How can I word this? It didn't set up Reigns to be a future main eventer, if you follow my drift. It did nothing. It didn't do anything against him, but it didn't do anything for him, really, either, in my opinion.
Jason, do you agree with this?
I do. I mean, honestly, I think it was the person he was working with. I mean, not to say that Randy Orton's work has improved over the last couple of years, because it has. It's just that right now, Reigns did not show that he is that guy yet. This was his first singles main event. That's all. I'm not going to say, oh my God, he doesn't deserve the title. But right now, be glad he doesn't have it. Right now.
No, and I'm thinking that this is, you know, this was a good test match for him. And it's probably a good thing that it wasn't a test title match. Because I think then he would be in a little bit of trouble. And I would love to blame Randy for this, but some of it might even come down to a little bit of the fact that these two have such contrasting styles. Reigns is supposed to be all power, fast forward, you know, run you over like a Mack truck Samoan. He learned well from his older brother. And Randy Orton is slow, methodical, calculated, boring.
Okay, he's gotten less boring, but you understand what I understand exactly what you mean.
When Orton is trying, he's good. And I'm not saying that he wasn't trying on Sunday. I just think that these two weren't a good fit. If just for grins, I would love to just have an all out with Reigns and Sheamus.
That'd be fun. You need the right guy. Maybe a Ryback. Maybe.
Yeah. We need somebody that he can fight and, you know, actually have some power struggle with. He could do that with Ryback. He could do that with Big E. He could do that with Cesaro. He could do that, you know. I'm not going to recommend Swagger because I don't know what the hell Swagger did, but are they just trying to generate sympathy? Because I was very disappointed that they had him pass out to Rusev.
I think they were doing a WrestleMania 13 ending. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Just clarify for us.
Well, it was kind of like a double turn of sorts where, you know, exactly, sympathy for the devil, as it were. Sympathy for a guy passing out for his nation's glory, and then, you know, people respect how he did not tap out, that kind of thing.
Everybody except JBL, but I'll get to him in a minute.
How dare you, Michael!
And the match that I had absolutely zero interest in and actually ended up with some lead time because my feed froze a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon. I wanted to be excited for this match. I wanted to be interested in this match. I really, really did. But a couple of the promos leading up to this frustrated me. And to the three of you who put down the wild card that Nikki was going to turn on her sister, congratulations. But I hate that shit. I hate it.
As one person who did do that, yeah, we know you hate it, but it was logical.
Oh, it makes sense. That doesn't mean I have to like it. So, and if it makes you all feel better, I got exactly 0 points. So, you know, my vote means nothing at this point. So, to the scores real quick. Tyler Brown is at the very, very bottom of the bowl at 2. Fourth and VRM, you guys were able to squeeze out 3. Jim, you are in the middle of the pile at 4.
I'm the marshmallow filling.
Let's see. Waters, Jason, Ethan, and Bad News Beeman all walked out with 5. And they still didn't win. We have co-champions, or possibly a singular champion. I'd have to look up the previous pay-per-view.
But I believe it's singular, yeah.
Okay, so the co-champions per the spreadsheet are Carl Chenier and Statboy Josh Henniger. However, I believe Statboy won last month, too.
Wow.
That's all right.
To this,
and you know what? I'm allowed to say this because I'm the one that puts this show together. He's got a pretty butterfly belt. I have my own belt, Josh. Ha ha.
And VRM, I'm going to have you really, really check over the formula on these spreadsheets. I honestly still think he is cooking these books. And I know there's a way to do it. He's probably mistakenly placed a parenthesis. Or threw in an ampersand or put a true false somewhere that I haven't been able to find yet.
Well, holy computer programming, Batman.
My good man, I dated a gentleman who turned a spreadsheet into a character sheet.
Enough said.
So, let's see. So the dust settles on this pay-per-view, and we roll into Monday night, where without any real fanfare, they officially debuted the new logo.
Whoosh. Which is a cool looking logo, by the way.
Yes.
They finally put it on the right side of the screen.
Well, the other thing is just the fact that it is so much cleaner. It is so much easier to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some fun with the stills in the background. A couple of freeze frames that were brought up. The Ultimate Warrior and Daniel Bryan with Connor.
Indeed.
And that in itself is awesome. And you're right, Carl. Now the logo is down in the lower right-hand corner. It's a single color, and it's translucent, so it's not as obtrusive as the previous Scratch logo has been for the last, 15 years?
12. 12 in the old form, but yeah, 15 total.
Okay. I mean, I'm counting F as well. I'm talking from the unveiling of the
original
Scratch.
Very late 1997, so yeah, just about.
So yeah, 15 years, and now we finally have the new logo that is plastered all over everything. But good on them.
Complete with a new sign and a new flag that says $9.99 at World Headquarters.
Vince, you crazy bastard. Anyway.
Indeed.
Monday night wasn't a horrible show, if you watched it on mute. No, actually, you needed to have your volume up at the beginning of the show when Daniel Bryan's music hit and Stephanie McMahon came out. I got to give her points.
Mm-hmm.
In her new Steph shirt.
That's just grinding that spiked heel in the Brie Bella's back, figuratively, but still.
I believe, by the way, isn't that money going to the Connor's Crush Foundation?
I hope so. I seriously hope so, and I know they can't advertise it because Steph's a heel. But I just sat there and cracked up because good heel. You know, I don't like Steph I don't like Steph's acting. But this looked and felt, what's the word?
Organic.
It felt right. It felt organic. It felt like she was into this.
Yep.
And I don't have to approve of the storyline, but at least she's finally learning how to act, so I got to give her that. What else do I have in here? Oh. Probably the best pop culture reference that the WWE has done.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm sorry. I laughed as well. Because we have Seth Rollins having his confident conversation since, yes, he did beat Dean Ambrose in the Lumberjack match. Because he beat him hit him hard enough with the briefcase that he left a dent. So while he's bragging about this, Renee Young takes a measured step back and Rollins gets the ice bucket.
What? It's for charity.
And then he gets the bucket to the face.
I have to say, Kapaami's version of it is just supreme.
Oh, Kapaami. Oh, gosh.
Kapaami's cartoons of Stalker Dean are awesome. They are awesome. They are amazing. And if there was any way I could get them to stay animated on a t-shirt, I would buy 10.
Plug coming later.
Indeed.
Yes. So yeah, once again, they're tearing into each other, which, you know, I think all of us can watch every other show and twice on Sunday. And of course, what does Seth do? Seth goes running to his sugar daddy. I mean, he goes to the evil boss. Says, what the hell was that? So they decided this. They set up the return match. And the evil boss says, you know what? I'll even let the fans pick it so that their poor favorite, it's going to be their fault that he has to go away.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
The blood will be on their hands.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, oh, yeah. Oh, which is what specifically?
A Falls Count Anywhere match. Where they didn't even go half as far as they did in the Lumberjack match.
Right. which also, by the way, the other ones was no DQ and no holds barred. Which, by the way, they're all the same effing match. Pretty much.
They're all great matches, Michael. They're all the same thing.
Oh, and they should have just wrote CZW on the screen and everybody would have understood. Anyway,
yes. Once again, sorry.
I'm sorry. Everything but the blood, man. Seriously. Everything but the blood. Mm. And I could tell stories about Ambrose Sammy Callahan matches.
Did he match your blood?
They brought it up. They brought it up on the must see, by the way. If you get the network for $9.99, you should watch the Journey to SummerSlam documentary. It's called The Destruction of the Shield. It basically profiles everybody, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. And they have archival footage from, believe it or not, CZW for Dean Ambrose. And they interviewed Les Thatcher.
Les trained Dean. I was at HWA when he was getting trained. Mm-hmm. And that was a hell of a class, because you know who else was in that class? Nigel McGuinness.
Oh.
Anyway, I can't believe they got Les. Damn.
Yeah, they did. They got Les. They got, Gabe Sapolsky did a little bit because they talked about Seth Rollins' ROH run.
Yeah.
And he worked with a little guy named Brian Danielson. You might have heard of him.
The name rings a bell. I'm not sure. Or Bella. Anyway.
And some guy named Drake Wirtz was interviewed.
No. You read the Chiron wrong. That was Drake Younger.
Okay.
Of the Naptown Dragons of IPW, who has worked Ambrose, who's probably worked Ambrose both in IPW and CZW. And is still the craziest bastard I know in the independent scene when it comes to death matches.
Right, but Dean, they all come off very well. You should check it out. It's a really good special.
So. I wanted to watch it today, and I just couldn't get the network to give it to me.
Okay, but let's talk about that sick match at the end. Oh my God, please.
Oh, good Lord. I reiterate, this is CZW level crazy crap. First of all, Brian Henniger probably completely and utterly lost his mind when about a dozen folding chairs had been put in the ring.
Hit him again! Yes.
And Rollins made sure he hit Ambrose with a half a dozen of them at once by jump power bombing into them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ow. Just ow. I believe there was a kendo stick involved at some point.
Singamore cane, yes.
Yeah.
Another running table jump spot.
Yes. And just for shits and giggles, a stack of concrete blocks.
Why do we have concrete blocks at ringside?
Because that was actually explained. That actually got explained.
It did?
Apparently, the Cole had asked Triple H, and he said it didn't matter. And Rollins was asked about it, and he said he'd talked to Kane, who knew a little something-something about this business, and decided that wouldn't be a bad idea, and just put it out there, just in case. Because Kane is a sick bastard.
Indeed.
So, Dean Ambrose gets his face pushed into concrete with a curb stomp. He is then stretchered out, much to the dismay of many, but hope springs eternal as he has escaped the EMTs and his whereabouts are currently unknown. This news brought to you by
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work!
Though WWE.com was having their own fun with it. Mm. And let me pull this up.
Oh, it's a poll?
I'm going to pull up the poll because this is silly. This is extremely silly. Oh, come on. I know I wrote in there. There we go. Where is Dean Ambrose? They ask, where is Dean Ambrose? So the poll on WWE.com. Where do you think Dean Ambrose is right now? And here are the options. He's at home healing up. He's hiding in a box waiting to strike. He's wandering around in the desert. He's out at sea getting away from it all. He's driving across the country solving mysteries.
Or
he's locked in a gas station bathroom plotting his next move.
Doofus.
That's the last. That's where I. Okay. The last one. Seriously. The last one.
And yeah, and I want video. Video or it didn't happen. Then again, my answer was that Dean Ambrose was at home washing his jeans.
Where in the world is Dean the Titty Master?
There we go.
And they were talking about it on the Freaking Awesome Network forums, and I jumped in with this. And since the write-out was so that Ambrose could climb aboard the Hollywood wagon and laugh at Miz, because he's going to be in a movie under Lionsgate and WWE Films.
Mm. And I believe it's going to be one of those quick theatrical releases before it goes to the video route. Which is what I believe. Which I believe is what Hornswoggle's Leprechaun Origins is doing, if I am not mistaken.
Now, what makes me laugh is that Dean is going to be playing a cop.
Okay.
So my joke to this was that he's just going to be hiding in plain sight when people come looking for him. They stop by the police station. And they give a description. They talk about this crazy man. So, okay, we got an APB on this dude, Dean Ambrose. Somebody asked the new kid, "Hey, Mox, you know anything about this guy?"
No, nope. Not at all.
No,
never
it'd just
heard
be,
of
him. Yeah, it'd just be nope. So, I will not have Dean Ambrose on my TV for a while. This also pisses me off because he's not going to be at the Labor Day Raw that I'm going to. Anyway, That's okay. That is okay. Since Jack Swagger has turned into an ineffectual individual thud, they sicked Mark Henry on Rusev.
I think what they're doing is they're going to increase size and weight until Big Show gets in. Okay.
Well, and it gives Mark Henry some part-time work to do since him and Show are doing the world's largest tag team again.
For a bit. I really think what this is doing is that this is setting up for the eventual Cena-Rusev match at Survivor Series, unfortunately. Hopefully with Cena not having the belt on him, because I have an idea of what's going to happen at something which the Evil Doc announced earlier this week.
He announced during main event that John Cena will get his rematch against Lesnar at Night of Champions. It was also announced that despite John Cena taking 16 suplexes in an overall beating of a lifetime. He's going to be on Raw next week. Really? Really? Really?
Riley.
Randy.
Jimmy.
Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when Big Show threw John Cena through an effing spotlight.
At Backlash a few years ago.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
And Cena no-sold that. And I'll even take an older example that I've heard where Stone Cold dumped Hunter, who was supposedly trapped in a car with a forklift. Hunter missed one show and showed up the next week with a Band-Aid on his forehead. This is one time that I want to see Cena show up via satellite. And I don't care if they do the break the set surprise I'm here thing. I would just want him via satellite. I don't want him out there.
Not until Night of Champions.
I'll even accept the go home show. He can come back at the go home show, but he should not be coming back next week. But if he wishes to risk his life that much, I hope that my dear Uncle Paul's client will take that shiny new man ring belt and happily give it to John Cena right between the eyes. Because that's not the only shiny new belt. They're actually going through and getting the new logo and reworking all of the belts. The Divas belt is done. The U.S. title belt has been done. I don't know if the tag belts are finished yet. And the IC title, I think, is done.
Because I believe Sheamus tweeted Instagrammed a picture with it. The new U.S. Mm-hmm. belt, I think.
Which they've brightened up the colors, and of course it has the brand new logo on it. They're getting the scratch logo to go away as fast as they possibly can. Something they should have been working on anyway since like February. Mm-hmm. But you know, while I approve of Lesnar as champion, it makes sense. The problem is, VRM, are you back with us yet?
No, because this car thing's got me a little.
Okay, I won't. I'll try not to pick on you too much. Jim, Lesnar makes sense as a champion, but he's a part-timer.
Right.
I should be just as outraged as when Rock was champion. I really should.
But you're not.
But I'm not, because it's my uncle's client.
Of course. You have a bias, and the checks are being cashed. Or are they? Come on. You know that train's never, ever late.
But go on.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. I have a feeling, though, Lesnar's going to work a program, and I'm completely piggybacking off of what Jim Ross has said on his podcast the last couple of weeks, where Lesnar will keep the belt until Mania, and hopefully by then, Roman Reigns is groomed into a main event type person, and then they have the match and Reigns takes the belt. It's very possible.
Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What they had, okay? And don't get me wrong, I loved what I saw on Sunday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But could it have been too dominant of a performance, if you understand what I mean?
No, especially since Cena's going to be back next week.
I see. Okay.
Because we know that Cena is Superman. And the man no-sold neck surgery. And as mentioned a few minutes ago, the man no-sold, you know, being thrown through a spotlight that he should not only have had all kinds of cuts and bruises, but burns if that stupid thing would have been on all night. But hardly a scratch. Tis a mere flesh wound.
Holy Grail, very nice, yes.
So, Monday's show was good, and I shall now relinquish the soapbox to Jason Block because he will put it much more eloquently than I will.
About Mr. JBL, Mr. Layfield?
Yeah, because I agree with you on how I felt. I found the show very mutable because of him.
Jesus! Yeah, here's the problem, okay? JBL, I understand what he's trying to do when it comes to the heel commentator. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, he succeeds, you know, like calling Alberto Del Rio Mexico's greatest export. By the way, we're gonna talk about that later because he had something to say, which, you know,
I'm going to enjoy reading. Yes, go on.
Okay. And, you know, he talks about Bo Dallas being inspirational. Fine, no big deal. I understand. Okay? Mm-hmm. But when he started going off on Jack Swagger being the most disappointing thing to America, and that he let 320 million or however the fuck the number is, excuse my French, it just got grating and annoying to the point where I tweeted him this week and he blocked me. Okay.
And to be honest, I've said this before, JBL puts everything he's got into his commentary, but he has this problem that he is very, very repetitive. Michael Cole is not this repetitive. JBL gets his needle stuck on something, or has his own. He has a list of reactions that he has from wah 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 wah. The sun was in his eyes. His shoes were untied. Black helmet.
You're a conspiracy theorist, Michael.
Yeah, and he's overused all of this. Even Cole's backed off of his own catchphrases.
True.
And JBL, thankfully, isn't at least shouting down the table like Cole was doing. But he's still being overbearing and unnecessarily rude. And it's not the, oh, he's a heel rude. It's shut up and call the match kind of rude.
Well, the thing is, half the time, he still doesn't talk like a heel. At various points. I mean, he goes neutral half the time. And then half the time, he switches the gear shift to heel mode, and he goes too hard on the throttle, if you catch my drift.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, you know, I like some of the stuff that he does, but he just gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets stuck on something that he's trying to for it, it's like round peg, square hole.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And there were tons of people who did it better. Bobby Heenan.
Jesse Ventura.
I'm trying to think, who was the heel in WCW?
That's a damn good question.
Heenan had some good stuff in WCW, and Mark Madden couldn't call his mother.
Heenan wasn't a straight heel half the time. He was just there for the paycheck. Come on now.
I know, but Mark Madden,
Yeah, Mr. Russo, yeah!
Exactly. I'm sorry. Mark Madden might be a decent wrestling journalist, but if I ever meet him, I would probably punch him in the mouth.
Hey, long line. Keep going.
I realize that.
Doesn't help that he's from Pittsburgh either, so.
That's irrelevant to me. It's the fact that the man could not shut up and put Spinneroonie into the English language. Forcefully.
Mm-hmm. Organically, so, yes.
Inorganically.
Yes.
He would deliberately shout it JR style. So, you know, him and Ed Ferrer and Vince Russo deserve each other. Yeah. Let me just sum that up. Okay, I feel better.
I think he's bouncing back up top because of all the buoyancy in his rubber in his stomach there. Yeah,
don't remind me.
Tank Abbott, damn you.
To this, there's still a joke somewhere that a picture of shirtless Mark Madden will make the internet implode. So posting said picture will get your internet canceled. Anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, you know who actually does who is really the best heel commentator right now?
Who's that?
Taz on
TNA. That's sad. That is sad.
That is extremely sad because he's been phoning it in for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that he does it good. You know?
You might be a little biased because of his background.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well.
Brooklyn you mean born, Brooklyn bred, and when he dies, he's Brooklyn dead.
Well, he lives on the island, so. But
yeah,
but,
Joey Numbers is there, yeah.
Well, but at least he's heelish, okay?
Yes.
Okay. But JBL is just bad. I mean, he was Michael Cole bad this week. He really was. You know, Michael Cole during WrestleMania 27 era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Jerry Lawler had the heart attack sort of stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. All that's, you know, all of Michael Cole from late 2010 through, you know, mid-late 2012 when Lawler went down.
Which Cole himself said to, I believe it was Sam Roberts, ruined his heel turn, ruined his heel gimmick, yeah.
Oh, no, it didn't. It saved a lot of people's ears.
Yeah.
And JBL, unfortunately, you're right, is starting like to sound like Cole, and I'll tell you what, I'd love to tweet that to him just to see if he'd block me. You know, have you been taking commentary lessons from 2011 Michael Cole, just to see what A, JBL would say, and B, what Michael Cole would say?
I dare you. I devil dog dare you, actually.
Ooh. Yeah.
Go for it. It's free country. It's free internet.
That's true. Let's see what I got here.
Live tweeting, folks. There we go.
Yes, this is a live tweet.
All right.
At JC Layfield.
There you go.
Oh, here we go, Nikki.
Why is your commentary rivaling that of 2011 at Michael Cole?
Hashtag mutable.
Why would you purposely be that bad?
Nice.
Hashtag mute button.
Booyah.
Hashtag stuck needle.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, love it.
Tweet.
Boom. There you go.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know if I don't know if he'll see it, read it, whatever.
Yeah.
But you did it. So, but yeah.
I agree. Now, granted, I have not muted an entire show, but I have muted JBL in the past. Mm-hmm. And I've had to mute him a couple of times this week.
Mm.
Because, like I said, his needle gets stuck, and that's when I really get frustrated. If you know, you want to be mean. You know, you want to be mean, you want to be a heel, that's great, but you got to think of more ways of saying how mean you can be.
There's a real big dictionary out there, and it's filled with lots of other words and phrases.
Actually, we need a better book for him. He needs a thesaurus.
The Thurith, if you will.
Yeah. Dusty, help the man out. Anyway, speaking of Dusty.
How many ways can you say bicycle?
Well, Dusty gets to talk a little bit about his past, if you will.
Oh, if you will.
Because they're going to let him be the host for the new DVD, The Best of the Bash.
Hey, the Bash. The Bash the Beach, if you will.
No, The Great American Bash.
The Great American Bash. Sorry.
Is that the one that just came out?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Stop that.
I'm sorry. Again, he's just a common man.
It's just so much fun to do the accent, and when he starts talking, especially now that you understand how weird his kids really are.
It all makes sense now. Yes.
It makes so much sense. In fact, somebody pulled up a black and white pic of Dusty Rhodes from early in his career, and he actually had Stardust written on his trunks, and I went, that's not possible.
It's true. It is an homage to his dad's character. True.
Wow.
Cody, points! And a cosmic key.
Yeah, and by the way, the name of the DVD set is called United We Slam, The Best of the Great American Bash. Out in both Blu-ray and DVD. And if you are a fan of that, of the WCW era, you know, when it was good, for the most part, you know, it came out, I believe, last month. Yeah, July 15th, about a month ago.
Okay, this was the first time I'd seen the ad.
Oh, okay.
So, which tells you how good my DVR is in helping me skip commercials.
Well, yeah, but by the way, your dear Uncle Paul's DVD is selling really well.
And thankfully, they're stocking quickly because I'm getting it sooner than I expected after we straightened out the payment problem.
Ah, another bounce check.
No.
No, it was actually an expired credit card.
Oh, you've moved up to the 1990s. Congratulations.
Jeez.
That does it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Pony.
No, I did not say that.
Pony.
You're putting words in my mouth.
But it's so much fun to put words in your mouth.
No. There's a difference in fidelity, damn it. Anybody can hear that.
I'm just trying to see what your release dates are for the rest of the stuff that's going to be. The big one is actually coming out next month, which is The Best of Sting, and we're not talking about
we're not talking about a musician either.
No, we are not.
Talking about a guy who's going to be in WWE 2K15 if you pre-order. Yes.
Yep. And of course the OMG, the history, that came out, and the coming soon is Best of Slam, SummerSlam. I don't know what's coming out otherwise, but yeah, the Best of Sting. Do you think he will be on TV to promote it?
No. I think they'll either recycle the musicians thing that they did for the 2K15 commercial, or they will do a variation of that with that same very badass close up. I do not think Sting will be on television physically till 2015.
I would tend to agree.
I don't expect to see his mug until the Rumble, at the earliest. So, I would love to see him on sooner than that. But, I wouldn't hold my breath. Let's see. Let me pull something else up. I don't need that anymore.
But you know who you might see on WWE TV somewhat soon? Maybe.
Who that?
Guy by the name of Bully Ray, a.k.a. Bubba Ray.
Yes. Let's talk about this a little bit, yeah.
It is not, and we needed to talk about our mandatory TNA, but I want to talk about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Bubba has pretty much wrapped up his business with TNA, which is interesting because he was the one who was doing a little bit of cheerleading for them up until recently. So let me read this little clip from PW Insider. Let's see, was this last Sunday?
Yeah, it was last Sunday.
Okay. Bully Ray held a meeting with the TNA roster working a live event in Hagerstown, Maryland, and informed them he wanted to personally tell them goodbye as he didn't expect to be back for the company. Ray's contract is expiring, and the live event is the last show he is contracted to appear on. Based on what Ray told the locker room, the two sides have not come to terms on a new deal. Loosely translated, they lowballed Bully Ray. What is amazing about this is that Bully Ray and D-Von were scheduled to be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory, if it's still going to happen, in October. TNA also has one match left in a series of bouts. Bully Ray was heavily involved in the last set of Impact tapings, which means that if he leaves, they're going to have a booking panic. Bully Ray had been the central point of the company over the last year, first with a heel run and the central figure behind Aces and Eights, which brought him his first TNA championship, and as a babyface pursuing Dixie Carter and put her through a table. An angle that Bully Ray himself had pitched to TNA management. I wonder how much he really protected Dixie now. So, yeah, Bully Ray just kind of said, see you, bye. But at least he said goodbye to the talent because he respects the guys that are in the ring. I'm sure that if Dixie or Carter Sr. or any of the Spike executives, if they had been at that show, he would have said, yeah, I know you guys, you know, I know you people really want to make this thing succeed.
You're a lying sack of crap, and you know it.
So, he stepped off the ship. So, what do you think, guys?
What I see... Well, let me put it to you this way. If Triple H is smart... You sign them to a deal and have them come in as a surprise at the Royal Rumble.
And I think they would take the Dudleys back because both of them are back in shape. Bubba has been a bright spot to TNA for a while. And D-Von was still on good terms with the Fed anyway. Because for a while it was, you know, we'll take D-Von, but we don't want Bubba because Bubba's a hothead.
Bubba dropped 100 pounds, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you really want to get to the inside of Bubba Ray, check out his podcast interview with Talk is Jericho. Okay? Really good stuff. He dropped weight, and by the way, if he did not leave the WWE or the WWF at the time, I don't think he would be as much of the commodity as he is now, because he has developed incredible character on the mic, okay?
Agreed. Well, he adapted and changed beautifully.
Yes. Okay. And this is the Bubba that I actually expected to see 10 years ago. When he had his mini feud with the Evil Doc. Remember when they first introduced the Big Gold? When they reintroduced it and Eric Bischoff handed it to Hunter?
Yeah.
Bubba was one of the first people in Hunter's face. and cut a semi-shoot promo on him. This isn't the Triple H show. And he actually got a title match that we all knew he had no chance in hell of winning. But he had the crowd behind him. He came out to the ring with a table and a can of silver spray paint. Propped it in the corner and started with, "This table is reserved. H, H, H." Crowd went batshit. So I knew he had it, but this was during the so-called Reign of Terror. And this was just when they had broken the Dudleys up, because D-Von was doing Reverend D-Von on SmackDown. And Bubba was on Raw trying to make a name for himself as a single star. Didn't work because they shot him a little too high up the card a little too fast. I think if they had waited, which would have been a shame, because those were two very good promos. Bubba had it in him. We knew Bubba had it in him. But TNA was a place where he was actually going to be allowed to do it. And now that he's done it, yes, Hunter should be on the horn right now trying to get a hold of Bubba. He might want to pick up the phone, and if he needs somebody for the Divas division, ODB is available.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? Do you think she's family-friendly enough, though?
They would have to do a little bit of tweaking of her character, and I don't know if she would accept that. For the record, though, she usually has an energy drink in that flask. You can put whatever you want in it, but she usually has an energy drink in there. Anyway,
I'm not saying that Dean Ambrose is family friendly, but he made it work.
Dean Ambrose is not family friendly. In fact, I did enjoy the fact that there was a sign in the crowd that says, "I pray to Dean Ambrose," and I'm like, "Holy crap!" Yeah. But to me, Dean Ambrose is indeed the king of his own little world, and it is governed in the state of dinarchy.
Hmm. Oh, and by the way, if you're talking about the future, I think I posted it early on in this. I'm going to recopy the link again. There's a picture that Mr. Kevin Steen posted with him.
Ah, yes.
Take a look at this. Of him and Prince Devitt. Check that out, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's badass.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Steen in a homemade fight t-shirt and Devitt all painted up with a Payback poster in the background and Evil Doc kind of glaring at him like, damn indie boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, speaking of former TNA people, there was a rumor out, courtesy of the Wrestling Observer, that you know, Kurt Angle has been making loud noises that he wants to come back for the WWE once his contract expires next month.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Observer, he called Triple H, and Triple H said, nah, no thanks. He called up Vince, and Vince said, Triple H is making the talent decisions, and Triple H is pissed that Angle went over his head. Now, if I were Triple H right now, honestly, I wouldn't take him in the same way.
Yeah, damaged goods at this point.
In the same way, I wouldn't take Jeff Hardy. Honestly.
Too many demons, too many issues.
Yet you don't know. You just don't know.
Too much baggage. It's, you know, Angle went out on a bad note anyway. So... And he's been doing, you know, we don't know if he's clean. We don't know if other issues have been reconciled. And I don't think Hunter wants to take back a guy with that much baggage. This is why I don't think the phone is ringing in the Carolinas for the Hardys, available or not. I don't think that the Hardys are going to be brought back except for maybe a one shot. Because Jeff has been clean for a while. Jeff has got his act together. Matt's had his act more or less back together too since the suicide debacle and all the nonsense that followed that. But these two have their acts together. It's just a matter of will the doc take that risk?
Doesn't need to. He's got enough in developmental to bring up, I would think.
He's got plenty enough people in developmental that can be on TV in less than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Breeze, Tammy Zane, Sami Zayn, Neville, eventually Steen, Kenta, those people.
Heck, if bring us the vaudevillains.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Put the vaudevillains on TV. I demand the vaudevillains on my real TV.
Yes, not my kinetoscope. No.
If I had a kinetoscope, I would watch them on it. after all, I heard Simon Gotch has one with high definition. Anyway,
he tweeted that to me, by the way. No joke.
I'm sorry. I loved that conversation. So anyway, the doc has a surplus of talented individuals that he doesn't have to lean on the old guard. And when you see old guard show up, it is usually more often than not in a non-wrestling capacity because they don't need to wrestle anymore.
Or they need help in other aspects.
Jake, Scott. Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
To a point, yes.
Yeah.
Hulk, as we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, and Pac. As an ex-Pac. But, they are using the old guard the way they should have been using them, and that is the nostalgia pop. Come out and show off for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wrestle. You don't need to wrestle.
Give us a taste of the good old days. That's all we need.
Yeah. Because a lot of the older wrestlers were good talkers. So we don't have to worry too much about that. With the exception of Scott Steiner and the Iron Sheik, they can give most of the old guys a microphone.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. You get the mic in front of the Sheiky baby, look out.
Oh, by the way, some more mandatory TNA talk, if I may. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Very important, though, we did have a development in the Spike TV TNA deal, sort of.
Well, TNA has gotten a stay of execution.
They're just kicking the can down the road, people.
The move to Wednesdays was part of it, and now they've at least will be part of Spike at least till the end of the year, which is fine. And the move to Wednesday hasn't helped them yet. As according to ZapToIt.com, the August 20th TNA show drew under 900,000 viewers.
Wow.
Roughly 850,000 viewers.
Now, let me ask you this question here. They get through the end of the year, and we all know that their 2015 tour is UK based through January, right? For the most part?
Yes.
Okay. If they survive December, do they even make it to the UK, and who do they promise? Because I know their overseas TV deal is more lucrative than than here. I mean, their fan base is actually bigger in the UK than here, isn't it?
To a point, but again, they go over there twice a year, just like WWE goes over there two or three times a year. And it's a novelty. It's still a novelty thing to have them in their backyard, because the logistics of getting them over there in the first place is something. But the trick is, I'm still waiting to hear them actually advertise more for Bound for Glory in Japan. Because they've been surprisingly quiet about this.
They have, yeah.
My feeling is, my gut tells me that Muda slammed the door in their faces once he found out about Russo. Say, you can find someplace else to do this. I know some Japanese cuss words, but I'm not going to repeat them here. The fact that the hall that they were going to be in was already booked for another league, and that if Bound for Glory was supposed to happen, that first show goes on, then that league's going to need about an hour and a half to 2 hours to break down their ring and take down all their propaganda. And then, and only then, can the TNA guys spend their hour and a half to get their stuff set up. Because I doubt Muda would give them anything at this point. So, you know, it's a good thing that, yes, they have TV through the end of the year, but their WrestleMania is 6 weeks away?
Ten weeks away, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was closer than that. Okay.
October 12th.
Okay, my bad.
Well, less than 2 months away. Yeah.
Less than two months away, and they've said odds and ends about it out on the web, but not much on TV.
Can you imagine if they cancel it, it's over?
Oh, no question. No question it's over if that happens.
No question. Absolutely no question. And it's getting harder and harder as more and more people walk away from the company. The fact that they just lost their top face, the fact that they lost one of their better female workers in ODB, and they don't have anybody who's actually saying, I want to retire in TNA.
Again, it's a slow death. And here's the thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If TNA goes under, this is a bad thing. It is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah, I mean, that it would be WWE is the 800-pound gorilla to the nth degree, and that's not good for the business as a whole.
No. I mean, there's good stuff going on in WWE that's going to raise the bar, that it's going to be very difficult for a new number two to really come up.
Ring of Honor's not going to be that number two. You know that, and I know that.
It's not going to be Ring of Honor. It's not going to be PWG, and it's not going to be Hollywood.
Or Jarrett's promotion, whatever the hell that's going to do, if anything.
That's still vaporware at this point, so I don't even include that. Just like, right, I don't include the Coalition thing that we talked about some months ago. I haven't heard about that since.
Exactly, yeah.
So, no, right now, they're really, you know, if it's we've already we've already said that TNA really wasn't competition to WWE, but at least it gave the guys some place to go. But when you get when you're not getting paid, or if you're getting paid and you're not getting paid well, and then you're told that you can't go work other promotions to help pay your rent, I'm surprised some of the guys stayed as long as they did. And after the issues with Daphne Unger and the issues with Jesse Sorensen and Jesse Neal with the food stamps thing and the Sunglass Hut incident, I think we're all just kind of looking at each other saying, how in the world did they stay in business up to this point?
Throwing good money after bad?
Well, throwing their money at Old Guard, you know, outside established names when they should have been making their own. And they had some.
Oh, they had plenty. Are you kidding me? They had plenty. And they still do to a certain extent.
Right, but we're down to what? Bobby Roode, James Storm, Joe.
Joe wasn't an original, though.
I'm just going with guys that I would identify with TNA, who really, you know, who may have made their bones in the indies. But
you know them best now from their days in TNA. They have tenure.
Yeah. So I can't say AJ Styles. I can't say Christopher Daniels. Because they're gone.
But they had, again, we've rehashed the death of TNA for so long. You know, I mean, so many different decisions, so many different management and the whole nine yards. You know, we've done that. You know, We could repeat it to death. It's just that it's coming. We just don't know when.
It's going to be a slow, and it has been a slow and painful death. It's a foregone conclusion. There are elements. I'm reminded of two of the elements of ECW and WCW's demises, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about those guys who have stuck around, not unlike the ECW guys in the late 90s and into 2000 and 2001, those who didn't abandon ship, they just stick there because they believed in what was being sold to them and that they had no other place to go. And like with WCW, when they, you know, went under about that same time, a year or so later, it's just, you can throw as much money as you can at something, but if, you know, you can't make a profit, mm-hmm. and you can't cut checks, you cease to be.
And it's, you know, it's horrifying to watch. This is a train wreck in absolute slow motion, and we've been watching the cars pile up, and we've been watching the, you know, the bad decisions, the departures, the arrivals, it's so frustrating.
I mean, what is it realistically going to take in these remaining months of 2014 for Spike to keep TNA on in 2015? Is it going to take an act of God? Is it going to take a doubling of the ratings? What's it going to take?
It's going to take, they're going to have to get those ratings doubled, which isn't going to happen. They are going to have to outscore Ink Master and Cops, which isn't going to happen.
And Bar Rescue, yeah.
And Bar Rescue. Spike has at least done them the favor of getting them moved to a night where they don't have to deal with WWE or football. However, Spike did it on such short notice, they probably cost themselves about 300,000 viewers.
The question I have, and I don't watch Spike nearly enough, and I don't know if anybody here does.
I do.
Do they actively advertise Impact on the network in other day parts?
No, not as often as I could see, okay? They really don't advertise them enough. They advertise Bar Rescue, Ink Master, and other shows.
And worse, I've only seen advertisement on the night it is.
And again, going back to things, you know, going back to my history, it's ECW on TNN all over again then. They were just placeholder programming. They were to fill a role. The network didn't give a damn about promoting them and getting them ratings. It was just the hardcore people who love the promotion who watch it. And that hardcore fan base is not enough to sustain. Simple. End of story.
Mm-hmm. And between that, once the, you know, when the spoilers hit the internet, then people make their informed decision of whether or not they're going to watch the show, and just all the doom and gloom news, even with this renewal, as it were. And then whatever that Africa thing is, I haven't even bothered to finish reading that article.
Africa?
Let me see if I can find this.
What, TNA doing a deal in Africa? That thing?
Yeah.
I'll find it. Give me a sec. I'll find it.
Okay.
Will they even be able to afford to go there? And I'm not being a smartass.
No, I think it's a TV deal. I think.
Oh.
And
It's a TV deal in Africa. It's sub-Saharan Africa through SuperSport through 2019.
Dude, they ain't even gonna make it to 2015.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They do well internationally, like you mentioned, in the UK with Challenge, where they are probably the highest-rated thing on Challenge, I would surmise. But you can't self-sustain sad reality without making it maybe not a massive success, but at least some element of profit in the States. They can't just pack up and move to England and be an England-based company. I'm not saying they would do that. I wouldn't rule anything out. But it's like the NFL going to England. Okay, everybody fills in Wembley Stadium because there are one or two games a season, okay? But if there was a team in Wembley Stadium for 8 games every season, people wouldn't go. Same sort of thing here. People, mm-hmm. it becomes passé. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to just talk about one more thing before we go. And there was the Mexican WrestleMania on.
I
the same night as SummerSlam. And here's the thing that's real interesting to me, because there were promos all week from a guy by the name of Alberto Del Rio, and he was saying that he was going to be there. And yeah, he was, and he cut a scathing promo, but we're going to get to that in a second. Nikki, there was somebody else there who's really more important, I think.
Yeah, somebody who hasn't been fired, but apparently wants to be fired. And that is one Rey Mysterio Jr. So, I'm going to read this. El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, cut this promo. Granted, he's cut it in Spanish, but I have it translated for your convenience. And I will do it with a slight Spanish accent just so you get the feel of it. History will mark this day as the day that El Patron returned home. But the truth is, after listening to that grand reception, I don't think El Patron ever left. Because his heart belongs to you. It belongs to Mexico. A lot has been said about why I left, why I came back. 7 years ago, I embarked on that dream, that adventure called America. And by suffering, blood, sweat, and tears, we showered North Americans and the entire world that when you do things with heart, with passion, with love, and being humble under the eyes of God our Father, dreams do come true. Of course, it wasn't easy. And then came a day that the dream turned into a nightmare. Similar to many of you, or if not you, two family members of yours who have gone to the other side looking for a better life for those that we love. I came across a monster called racism. Racism doesn't distinguish sex, race, religion, color. It doesn't care if you have money, if you don't have it. But this man that's standing right here, pointing to Dos Caras Sr., that has given me everything and has made me the person that I am, gave me the biggest gift a father can give his son, honesty and a spirit to triumph. He never lowered his head so that I could learn to never lower mine in front of anyone. I love you, Father. in the United States, they might be able to take my job, but they'll never, ever take away my dignity and my pride. And on this night, my fellow Mexicans, I promise you and God that never again will someone come and disrespect my people, myself, and all those that I love. Because I am El Patron, I'm Alberto, and I am Mexican, ladies and gentlemen. They did the video at the end of the show aired footage of Rey Mysterio, who also wanted to celebrate for AAA, because I know he'd worked there, and for their big anniversary. Up popped a little thing, hashtag Free Rey. As in, let Rey go work in AAA and continue to destroy his knees. WWE, of course, is still hashing that out with Mysterio, and of course, we already know what happened with Del Rio. Jim, that's going to put Mysterio in a pretty compromising position.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, he obviously feels he still has something left in the tank, and he knows he won't be able to exhibit that north of the border. So he goes back to Mexico, ideally, and performs. One little problem, Rey Mysterio, whether he's wrestling, recouping, or just sitting at home in San Diego chilling, prints money. His merchandise sales still print money. It's money the company wants. It's money and a market, more importantly, that the company needs.
Jason, what is the legal standing here? Because as far as I understand, he's still under contract with WWE, and they've essentially taken the time of his time off for injuries and put it at the end of his contract, I guess, to fulfill appearance dates.
Here's what I see. I don't know if I were WWE, I'd go after Rey right now. I really would. You're still under contract with WWE, as far as I know.
Subordinate?
No, because supposedly, and multiple sources have said that Alberto Del Rio's breach of contract, quote-unquote, is a year long. So, I would go after him. I really would. I'd go to Oscar, because his real name is Oscar Gutierrez, and say, Oscar, what the fuck are you doing? Right? That's what I would do.
There's got to be some repercussions here, because I understand Rey's side of it. You know, that you're not clearing me to wrestle, so, you know, now you're just making me sit. I want to wrestle. Well, you're not 100% yet. I'm never going to be 100% unless I get, you know, and he's never going to be 100% until he gets his knees replaced.
And that would shorten or end his career.
Exactly. So, you know, he's already in a bad position, and I understand WWE's side of it. They don't want Rey to wrestle because they don't want him to get hurt again. As a publicly traded company, that can reflect badly on the market that they're trying to hold on to. And Sin Cara is not going to be able to maintain that market since he is now a jobber. Poor Hunico. And
he and Kalisto are fighting the Vaudevillians in the finals of the NXT Tag Team Tournament.
I've seen some beautiful GIFs of what's going on in that tournament, and I need to go watch it in its entirety, which I might do here in a couple of minutes, because we need to actually call this a show. So, before we go, VRM, you still with us? At least take a moment to promote.
Yes. So, coming soon to a CLW 83 near you, WrestleCraft Sports Digest returns 6 weeks late and needing to go through 32 teams in 2 weeks before our opener in 1 week from Thursday. Well, so we went through the AFC and quickly recapped everything else that happened in the world of sports over the last 6 months.
Jim, you probably have a huge load of things to promote.
Sure, why not? New episode of Touch 'Em All is up right now. Mr. Block was kind enough to join me, as was DC Lundberg. You'll want to listen because DC Lundberg says something he has never said before.
I'm sorry.
In all of his appearances on CLW 83, he goes off script, off field. I mean, you may have to have the kids cover their ears. Unbelievable. But in all seriousness, we talk about the division races. We talk about the pennant races, the wild card races, how Clayton Kershaw could very well be the National League MVP and not just the Cy Young Award winner. We also have some horrible umpiring and a whole lot more, and a little League World Series for all you mites out there. So give it a listen and give a like to our Facebook page, facebook.com/touchemall. And Jason, I'll kind of steer it in your direction. You got some stuff, don't you, bro?
Yes, we do. Brian and I missed Pixel Nation last week due to circumstances beyond our control. But we are going to record an episode this coming Sunday. Because I'm going to be away next week. I will not be involved with the North American Wrestling Connection at all. Because I will be away in Florida for the 25th annual sweepstakes convention. I will be in Florida from next Wednesday to next Monday, Labor Day weekend. We also did, Carl will also talk about it, we did the BS Big Show, more preseason football. We talked about that.
I didn't.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. That's right. Jim, you and I did that. That's right. We did a little bit of a potato passing. We talked about the preseason. We talked about certain players that should or should not be there. Talk about suspensions.
The Washington professional football team.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't start.
Yes. Excuse me. Jim is doing that as a humor piece.
Yes. But,
We also want to talk about the Chase cast and the fact that the Chase has been renewed for a 20-episode fourth season.
Yay!
And if you want to audition for said fourth season, go to www.chasecasting.com. That's chasecasting.com. That is the fourth season. They are doing that through, they are auditioning for, I believe that's going to be 60 spots for in seven cities throughout the months of September and October. May I quickly give the cities if that's okay? September 6th in Los Angeles, September 13th in D.C. in Houston, September 20th here in New York, September 27th in Chicago, San Francisco, October 4th in Indianapolis, and October 11th in Boston and Seattle. Go to chasecasting.com for more info if you want to register. So there you go. And again, maybe Jim on Sunday and or Monday night, we want to get a red state blue state in before we go, before September rolls around.
You mean to finish what you started?
We'll start from scratch probably.
Start from scratch because things have happened since then. Tell me about it. Anyway, so that's that.
And I have something to promote too.
Go ahead.
Tacos.
And of course, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, TuneIn app,
and the freaking awesome network. Welcome.
And WrestleChat. Yes. Actually, there was something else I was going to promote.
Oh, go ahead.
Possibly, maybe, right before we get to NFL season, maybe, Jim and I will be looking at YouTube videos again. Maybe.
possibly we'll be going down some tubes or something.
Maybe. It depends on what happens in real life.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you are interested, the Freakin' Awesome Network is a new area that we will be showing off our fine podcast. This is also a wonderful place where you will find other great articles that cover movies, television, video games. Is home to the Jean-Claude Van Damme podcast, where he talks about his movies. Let's see, Wrestling with Regret, with a W yet. And many other places, and a message board that does not discriminate, although they don't like cuss words and they don't like politics. So no red state, blue state for you, Jason.
But that's okay. I'll deal.
No.
And before we go,
yeah,
I want to extend a personal invite to any admin on the fan boards who would want to come on our podcast upcoming.
Absolutely. Come on in.
Yeah.
Lashley. Madison, all y'all. Wants to jump in, come to us. We'd like the publicity.
Yeah. We got plenty of room at the table. Cash, if you're listening, you're the one who helped us with the go-ahead originally. You're more than welcome. So, and a few other boardies that might be out there. Who knows, maybe I can get a German on here. Or another Australian. Or a few UK people. There's just one problem. Jim?
Yes. Pony.
So, for VRM, for Jason Block, for Jim Williams, for our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Please keep listening, because we are going to keep coming back until you do. Thank you. And good night.
Stay pony, my friends.
Attaboy.